In the book, 6 Hours, One Friday, the author tells a story of a Labor Day weekend when Hurricane David was devastating the Caribbean islands and was bearing down on the south coast of Florida. He and his buddies were living on a boat, a houseboat, and they were desperately trying to tie the boat down. They were tying it to trees, the moorings, to anything they could. And he tells a weather veteran of the sea saw them and felt sorry for him, and he'd come over and he said, "Boys," he said, "you tire to the land and you regret it." He said, "Those trees are going to be eaten by the cane. Your only hope is to anchor deep, 4 different locations, leave the rope some slack and pray for the best." The author said, "Anchor deep." He said, "That's good advice. Not just in a time of storm, but in the storms of life." And the author related this to some anchor points for life. And when I read the story, I thought about how that these anchor points relate to Christ and the cross and communion and why we're here and what we're doing and why we're doing it. Communion today and our purpose for coming is anchored in the cross and the Christ who was sacrificed on it. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says that we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And that anchor, the writer says, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. He's our hope. He provides safety and security, and he is the mooring on which we, when the storms of life assail our souls, can hold on tight to. I suggest to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that my life is anchored in the cross. And it reminds me of these three things when I take communion. Number one, that my life is not futile. Sometimes we wonder if our lives really count. We wonder, why are we here and what are we to be doing and what can I offer and am I really making a difference? For many people today, life seems to be futile, empty, pointless. Oh, sure, some folks are prospering and living well and enjoying the good life. But for many people, life has become an empty burden. And some even that are well off in life financially reach a point and they say, "Is this all there is?" They wonder, isn't life more than just money and things and pleasure and personal pursuits? For other, life seems futile because of unfulfilled dreams and unrealized goals and unsatisfying relationships. If you go to Lock Hill Cemetery in San Antonio, Texas, and you walk to the northern end of the cemetery, you will find there an intriguing gravestone that marks the life of a woman named Grace Llewellyn Smith. No birth date is listed, no death of date. Just the names of her two husbands in this epitaph. "Sleeps, but rest not. Loved, but was not loved. Tried to please, but pleased not. Died as she lived, alone." Not exactly a Hallmark card, is it? I don't know if Grace Llewellyn Smith wrote these words or just lived them, but either way, they speak to a life of futility, a life of disappointment and dashing hopes and unfulfilled dreams. And ironically, the cross to people at the time seemed to signal the end of Jesus' message. The disciples were scared and scattered. When Jesus was arrested, the writers record that they ran like scalded dogs. The scripture says they were secretly hiding in fear. They had to think that 3.5 years of following Jesus and this ministry is now ending in futility and emptiness and disappointment and discouragement and even despair. And yet the paradox would be that the cross would become an anchor in their lives and in their preaching and in their mission and ministry and the very heart of their message. And so as we come to communion this morning, we're reminded the cross was not the end, but it was only the beginning. And so Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we preach Christ crucified. In fact, he would say in the Galatian letter that I glory in the cross. The cross became the anchor of the apostles' preaching. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness of those who are perishing, but to us as being saved, it is the power of God. The cross became his anchor because he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is the anchor of our souls. In a crazy, mixed up, messed up world, it's Jesus that offers us purpose and direction and focus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in him, we can live an abundant life. And as we come to communion each Lord's Day, we are reminded that life is not futile because Christ and his death on the cross gave us a solid anchor, regardless of the storm that comes our way. The second thing I'm reminded of is that my failures are not fatal. Who hasn't failed? I failed my driver's test when I was 16. I failed a science course in college and had to repeat it. I failed my parents at times and my wife and even my children. I've had financial failure. But most sadly, there have been times I have to admit that I've failed the Lord. But what I know is that I'm not unique. That everyone here at some point has experienced failure. It's something. I've had people come into my office through the years that are carrying the burden of their failure. Unfaithfulness, infidelity, drunkenness, abuse, you name it. But the cross reminds me of the good news that our failures are not fatal. The paradox of the cross is that failure surrounded the cross. Think about it for a second. The Pharisees failed to see Jesus as the fulfillment of messianic prophecy. The Sanhedrin council failed to fulfill their moral and legal duty. Judas failed. Peter failed. The disciples failed. Pilate failed to be courageous. The crowd failed as they cried, crucifying, crucifying. And with Jesus' dying breath, it seemed like he had failed. His mission had failed. And yet the cross became the anchor of success. Victory when Jesus arose from the dead on that Sunday morning. And so today we come to communion and we're reminded that in the cross we find forgiveness for our failures. You see, Peter was restored. The scattered disciples were reunited. The questioning Thomas was given evidence to dispel his doubts and provide an anchor of faith. And every person that has ever come to communion was once a failure, spiritually, morally, ethically, in some way. We come this morning, ladies and gentlemen, not as perfect people, but as pardoned people. We're reminded again that God hasn't given up on us. He's willing to forgive. His mercy is universal. His grace is free for all. His love is unconditional. And his blood will cleanse. God doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on you and I. And then the third thing I think about is that my death is not final. I've conducted a number of funerals through the years, and all contain an element of sadness and sorrow and tears, some more so than others. Some grieve in the face of a tragic death, unexpected, unnecessary, and unprepared for. Now, all of us here know, at least intellectually, that one day we will die. But it seems that sometimes the devil has the upper hand. He's the bully on the block, it seems to us. How many of us have had to bury a loved one and then come to communion with a heavy heart? But because our hope is anchored in the cross, on the day when Jesus died and said, it is finished, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when it seemed like to those around the cross that it was all over, that Jesus had died and death had won and the devil was smiling, but Satan didn't have the final word. And Jesus proved that in the raising of Lazarus when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked Martha, the sister of Lazarus, do you believe this? And she said, I do. The cross and the tomb are inseparably linked. On that Friday when Jesus' life seemed futile, and it appeared that his mission had failed, and his crucifixion had nailed it shut, and it was over, and it was final, little did folks know that on that Sunday morning, very early, the sun arose. Triumphant, victorious over his foes of futility and failure and finality. And so as we come to communion this morning, we're reminded not only that Jesus arose from the dead, but he continues to live and to rule and to reign. And we're reminded that the blood that he shed upon that cross continues to cleanse. And what it tells me is that just like Jesus' death was not final, neither is mine, and neither is yours. And so today as we come together in fellowship, and Jesus is with us in the kingdom, at this very special part of our service, we're reminded of the life-saving anchors that keeps us safe and secure from and stable during life's storms. So as you eat and drink this morning, remember, your life is not futile. Your failures are not fatal. And your death is not final. Because we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast.